Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from today's gospel, especially the last words, this very short parable that Jesus gives to his disciples. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who were waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, in this text, especially in the beginning, Jesus is dealing with the biggest problem I'd say the disciples have for the 3 years following Jesus, and that is the problem of anxiety. They're always worried about something. They're worried about food, they're worried about drink, they're worried about clothing, they're worried about where they're going, they worry about which one is the greatest. They're worrying constantly. And Jesus addresses that issue and he tries to solve the problem. Now, at first, it doesn't really sound like he's solving the problem all that well, because his solution is basically, just don't worry, right? Have you ever been really worried about something? And you go to a friend or something and you say, I'm really worried about this. This is really filling me with all kinds of anxiety. What should I do? And they say, don't worry. Not a lot of help there. But what Jesus does is he goes on. And now he gives them a reason not to worry. He says, God feeds the birds. And you guys are more important than birds, right? So don't you think he's going to feed you? And God clothes grass and flowers. Aren't you more important than that? Of course, you don't have to worry about these things. Then he gives kind of a really profound reason not to worry, which is kind of negative. He says, you know, even by worrying, you can't prolong your life by one day. In other words, nothing's going to change because you worry. But then he gets the ultimate reason not to worry, which is right here. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What he's saying there is the kingdom of God is already theirs. So what do you have to worry about? And then he goes on with his parable to illustrate what he's talking about. Now, this, I mean, I would say if people listed their top five parables, this would make one of them. Maybe not even the top 20. It does for me, but for a lot of people it wouldn't because it's so short. And I think the main reason is because the servants in this parable really don't do much, do they? And we like parables where people are doing things, right? Because what do we want? We want a list of things we need to do, right? To be a better disciple, to grow in our faith, to grow in our spiritual life, or reading the Bible, or prayer, or consistency in live Christian living. All of these things, this is what we want in a parable, where it gives us a guide on how to do these things. And here, what do the servants do? They wait. That's not a big deal. We will try to still make the servants the star of the parable, and we'll say, well, you see, okay, they only waited, but they waited faithfully, and therefore, because they did so, then they were blessed. The problem is the servants are not the main focus of the parable. They don't do much. The master is the focus. He's the one doing all this stuff. And if you ever really look at the parables closely, you're going to see that the parables Jesus tells are always about Jesus. And so it is with this one. And so let's just look at the context again. Disciples filled with anxiety. Jesus says, you don't need to worry. The kingdom of God is already yours. Now learn why you are blessed not to worry by looking at this parable. There were a lot of surprises in this parable for the people who heard it the first time. For one thing, it begins with, it says, stay dressed for action, okay? Get yourself ready to work. In the Middle East back then, most everybody's wearing a long robe, okay? Keeps them cooler. Mine's not doing that right now, but I'm assuming theoretically it works in the Middle East. But if you want to get ready for work, what do? Well, you hike up the middle part and tie a rope around it so your legs are free, you can work. Well, why do they need to be ready to work to wait? Well, that's the thing. There's a much better translation for that word. If you look at the word weight and how it was translated the earliest times into Aramaic and Syriac from Greek, it's not wait, it's expect. Waiting is passive. Expecting is active. The thing I hate most about going to the movies is the previews. I hate the previews. I just hate them. Okay, and there seem to be a lot more than there used to be. And it just goes on and on and on. And after like the eighth preview of a movie I'm never going to see, then all of a sudden there's a Coke commercial, and then they start up the previews again. And all that time I'm just waiting. When's this movie going to start? It's been 20 minutes. But then the lights come down, and now I'm expecting. Because that means after two more commercials at least, there will be a movie, okay? But you see those lights coming down, now I'm expecting something. Waiting, passive. Expecting, anticipatory. Well, that's what these guys are doing. They're expecting, these servants are expecting the master's return. But why do they expect the master's return? See, it's really easy for us to constantly think of them as the main thing. The master is the main person in this story. They expected the master to return because they knew the type of person the master was, and that's why they were blessed in the first place. Now, in a lot of translations, it says they were expecting or they're waiting for the master's return. And I guess that's, you know, a legitimate translation, but it's not really accurate. Because if you look at some of the earliest translation, it doesn't say the master's return, but for the master to withdraw from the wedding feast. If he's returning from the wedding feast, that means the wedding feast is over, got no place else to go, might as well go home. But when he withdraws from the wedding feast, it means it's still happening. He's leaving early. That's the type of master we are presented with here. Someone who doesn't think about himself and the good time he's having, he's thinking about his servants back home. Another surprise is when he gets home, he knocks. Well, no master of a house filled with servants would knock. That's just not what you did in that culture. It would take too long for you to get into the house. Instead, you'd call out, "It's me," and they'd recognize your voice and let you in immediately. So why does he knock? Because not only do the servants understand the character of the master, but the master knows his servants. And he knows even if he knocks, they will immediately open to him. Now here's the key. The key is the word blessed. It's passive. And it's called the divine passive. It means that they are blessed, and it always means blessed by God. So the point of this parable is not that we should be faithful in waiting for our Lord to return, and if we are, then we'll be blessed. If we're not, then we go to hell. That's not the point of the parable. The point is that the servants were already blessed because they understood the character of the master. And the master understood them and came back to bless them even more. The real surprising part of this parable for the culture at this time and for the listeners that all those years ago was when it says, "And when he came into the house, he had them recline at table." Now, whenever someone reclines a table in the Bible, it means they're going to eat. So he's going to feed them. Well, where's the food coming from? Doesn't say that the servants were commanded to cook the food, so they don't have any. They certainly can't cook it when he comes in because he feeds them immediately. So where does the food come from? It comes from the wedding feast. There are like six or seven words for servant in the New Testament in Greek. We just have one servant. Actually, the word being used here is the lowest one. So it should say slave. And a slave is never going to be invited to a wedding feast. But in love and grace, the master brings the wedding feast to them. So the key here is that these servants were already blessed because they knew who their master was. And what makes this such an incredibly powerful and important parable is because in these few lines, these few verses, you have the incarnation and the atonement. God coming into this world in Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, that's the master leaving the wedding feast to come to his servants. The atonement is Christ's death on a cross for our salvation and his resurrection to make us new creation. And that's the master serving his servants. And their story is our story. We can live in this kind of hope because we too know the master. We too know that the kingdom is ours, and therefore we have been blessed. Now, are we going to worry? Of course we are. I mean, we're weak, and we're tired, and we have worries, and some are very legitimate. And just hearing, you know, don't worry about it, doesn't always help. And yet, as people of Christ, we know that deep down we really have nothing to worry about, because the kingdom is ours, and we can live our lives in hope. Until that final day when there's a knock on our door and we open it immediately because we know who's on the other side. It's our master. And we know him and everything that he has meant to us throughout our lives. We know all the blessings that he showered upon us, and we'll then know the greatest final blessing of him bringing us home. In Jesus' name.